Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you all this morning, and it's lovely to see Ruth with us today.
Yes.
Welcome back, Ruth. you're all very welcome to stay after the service for tea and coffee and a time of fellowship. And if anyone would like prayer for themselves, please just remain where you are in the church and someone will come to pray with you after the service. I'd also like to welcome Wilma, who needs no introduction, obviously. She's back in her home church, and it's great to have you with us, Wilma. And it was lovely to work and plan the service with you last week as well. I have these sheets here with me today. If you've read your notices, you will know that on June the 6th, we are having an away morning with Bethesda. Now, we've been doing our joint services for about 2 years now, and we feel, both leadership teams from both churches, feel that now is the time to ask everyone for their input on how you think it's going, any changes you'd like to make, just a time of sharing and being honest with each other, really, about how things are. So we are having a morning at... I haven't put where it is on the sheet, but you know where it is. It's Maison des Landes in St. Juan. Directions will be given if you don't know where it is. And we are starting at 10. It's just a morning, and there'll be a buffet lunch served at 12:30. So no one has to do any catering or food or anything. It's all been done for us. And I'd like to encourage as many of you as possible to come and spend that morning at Les Landes. And if you would like to come, you're asked to put your name on the sheet and indicate whether you're staying for lunch or not, because obviously we need to let them know for catering purposes. So I would like to ask you to think about that very carefully. Put that date in your diary. The 6th of June is just a morning, not the whole day, and sign the sheet. I'll put it at the back of the church after the service. Birthdays. We have two birthdays. Nick, who's not here, and Bill has another. How can you believe it's a whole year since your big birthday last year, Bill? I'm sure you'll be happy to see Katie back this afternoon. She might need to lie down for a week, I think. Our call to worship this morning will be on the screen, and if you would join in the words printed in yellow. We come, trusting God to lead and guide us. God's house is always open. We come to this sacred place. We feel God's love around us. We can trust God is our rock. Even when doubts and trouble overtake us, we are glad to rejoice in God's love. We come together to rejoice in God's love. Amen. And we'll start our worship this morning by singing two songs. For I'm building a people of power, and we want to see Jesus lifted high. Let us pray. Father, we have just sung, we want to see Jesus lifted high. And indeed, we want to lift your name high in this place today. We have come here today to worship you and to give you thanks and praise for all you have done for us. We have come to sing our hymns and songs, to offer our prayers, and to hear your word. Lord, your greatness is beyond anything we can picture in our minds. You are the creator of all things. We give you glory and praise your holy name. We want to put you at the center of all that we do, and yet it is not easy to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Every day, we are tempted to put our possessions, our ambitions, our plans, and ourselves before Jesus. Forgive us when we are too busy doing other things to hear your voice. Thank you, God, that despite our many failings, you love us anyway. Thank you for choosing us to be your people, for calling us and equipping us to demonstrate your love to those we meet. Thank you for giving us your word, our guidebook for life. Thank you most of all for giving us your most precious gift, your Son Jesus, who lived in our world, who died in our place, who rose again, and who is always with us. Amen. Let us join together in saying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we sing again, number 418, O Jesus, I have promised.
Good morning. Lovely to be here. Well, it's always lovely to be here, whether I'm standing here or I'm sitting there. It's really great. For your information, we're going to take the offertory up now, if that's okay. Sorry, it's so sudden.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the gifts that you give to us. Lord, it's not only money that we receive from you, but it's healing, it's peace, it's so many more things. It's a roof above our heads, it's clothes to wear and food to eat, Lord, and it's things that we sometimes forget because there are so many people who don't have all those luxuries. And Lord, therefore, whatever we have received from you, and especially the money, also received through bank transfers, we give a big thanks to you this day. Lord, we ask you for a blessing on those funds, and that you can use them and use them for your kingdom here on earth, for those who need it much more than we do, Lord Jesus. I thank you for all your gifts. Lord, we ask you for a blessing upon us as well, upon our gifts, the things that we use our time and our talents to further your kingdom here on earth and to be your servants, Lord, here in this church and in the world. Lord, we ask you to use us as you use those gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I would like to invite Heidi to do our Bible reading of today. Thank you.
Today's reading is taken from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know the Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing this work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Thanks be to God for his word. Amen.
Think this is
one way.
Yes, a one-way sign. There are many different one-way signs, but I like this one because it's pointing, hopefully, in the right direction that we are going to talk about today. So yeah, this morning we are going to have a look at I am the way, the truth, and the life, and we are going to explore if there is only one way. The Way. And The Way actually was the oldest name for the Christian church. And what a name it is. The Way. But here in John's reading, its meaning is more than that. It is the direction we take with Jesus. The only way. The reading today starts with, do not be worried, do not be upset. And this is a phrase that Jesus repeats many, many times in his teachings while speaking with his disciples when they were unsure. And he reassures them by saying, so don't worry, just trust in God and in me. And he continues, you know the way, the place where I am going. But the disciple Thomas was not so sure where Jesus was going, and he had a question about that. And he asked Jesus, where are you going then? And Jesus asked him with, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now that through him even more. And that also brought fellow disciple Philip in doubt, because he comes with a request to Jesus to see the Father. When he says, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Now, these men, they have been spent quite a bit of time with Jesus. We haven't. They've actually seen him in the flesh, which means they have also seen the Father, because Jesus and the Father, they're one. They have spoken with him. They broke bread with him. They have seen Jesus healing people, standing up to injustice. They have traveled with him, seen his miracles. What about us? We never experienced all these things with Jesus, did we? How can we be so sure that he is the way that he tells us? Thomas, he needed more evidence after Jesus' appearance as well. When he appeared to the disciples after he was risen from the tomb, he didn't believe Jesus appeared because he wasn't there at the time, even though his friends told him. But Jesus came, especially back for him, to show his pierced hands and his side so he might believe because he saw. Because you have seen, Jesus said to him, you have believed. And I sometimes wonder, would we believe or have more faith if we would have met with Jesus in real life? Or would we be like the disciples, still questioning it? Or at least Jesus said to Philip, believe at least the evidence of the miracles, the things that I do. But you know, the reassuring thing for us is that Jesus said as well, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and also in me. And he says this, not only to his disciples, but also to us, to comfort us all. And even though he himself is troubled, because when he said this to his disciples, he just told them as well during his Last Supper that he was going to be betrayed, going to a place where they could not follow him. He is heading for the agony on the cross. Yet he is still the one who comforts others. The disciples, they are troubled because they are confused and afraid that Jesus will imminently depart. But he tells them they shouldn't be troubled about his departure because it will benefit them. He speaks of his Father's house, a place with enough room for all of them. And in Tom Wright's commentary, it says, a place where heaven and earth will meet, like the temple. Heaven and earth will meet again when God renews the whole world. At that time, there will be room for everyone. And this promise is made as a way of assuring the disciples that though he's going away, it will be for their benefit. He won't forget them. He won't abandon them. But this promise goes further. It goes beyond the disciples, and it welcomes and embraces all of us. We know that these verses in this passage, I prepare a place for you, are often used at funerals. And you can understand why. Like the disciples in this passage, we can't always see ahead of us. And we need to know not only that there is indeed a way into the future, the unknown future for us, but that we will be able to find it and be safe. Jesus provides more than enough space for everyone of his followers to join him in his Father's house. But how do we find that house with many rooms? How do we? We don't know where Jesus went. Or do we? Well, says Jesus, I am the way. If you want to know to get to the Father's house, you must come with me and trust me and believe in me. I am the way and the truth and the life. It's quite a statement, isn't it? But still, the question is, how can we know the way to God? Well, only through Jesus. This statement is one of the most basic and important passages in the scriptures. And Jesus, he is the way because he is both God and man. Jesus is visible. Jesus is the visible, tangible image of the invisible God. He is the complete revelation of what God is like. By uniting our lives with his, we are united with God. Trust Jesus to take you to the Father, and all the benefits of being God's child will be yours. And Jesus explained to Philip, who wanted to see the Father, that to know Jesus is to know God. And I quote here from Hebrews, where it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors many times and in many ways through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the one through whom God created the universe, the one whom God has chosen to possess all things at the end. He reflects the brightness of God's glory and is the exact likeness of God's own being, sustaining the universe with his powerful word. After achieving forgiveness for human sins, he sat down in heaven at the right-hand side of God, the supreme power. Now, to get our heads around all this, we're going to have a look at a remora fish. I don't know if you've ever heard of that fish. You see it on the picture there. It looks a bit weird. It's sometimes called a sucker fish as well. Now, the remora fish is not a big fish. He's about, well, between 1 and 3 feet long. I don't know exactly how much that is. I think something like this. I do centimeters, so it's about a meter, I would think. And it has an oval sucking disc on the top of his head, as you can see. That allows him to attach itself to the underside of a passing shark. And once it's attached, the remora does not have to worry about food, transportation, or safety. It feeds on the food that falls from the shark's mouth. And of course, it has the option of swimming on its own. But when it decides to attach to the shark, it goes where the shark goes. It does not attempt to go in a direction contrary to the shark. There he is. So they stay very near to the shark. Protection, well, it's a non-issue for one that is connected to such a powerful creature, is it? The remora is secure and it knows the shark can take it to places it could never go alone. But the shark also benefits from it, from this fish, because it feeds on the parasites on the shark's skin and even in its mouth. You see also pictures sometimes that they're in the shark's mouth. Well, I don't want to be there, I tell you. And this made the sharks very happy because the parasites would otherwise irritate the shark. So they have a very special relationship, and it's called a symbiotic relationship. So the remora fish, receives more than a convenient food source. The sharks protects the fish from predators as well and gives it free transportation throughout the oceans. Wow. That's not bad, is it? Especially when you like swimming, like me. The remoras, they keep the waters clear of scraps around the shark and preventing the development of unhealthy organisms near the shark. And the host shark is also kept clean of irritating parasites that could badly affect his health. So it's a win-win situation, isn't it? This relationship. Now, doesn't this sound a bit like the relationship God desires his children to have with him? He wants us to feed on the word that comes from his mouth. He wants us to go with him where he leads, which is where his son Jesus is going, and not take off on an independent excursion hoping he will tag along. He wants us to live with the assurance that he will protect not only our lives, but also our relationships and all that is connected or related to us. Wouldn't it be great to be able to imitate the remora? We would then find ourselves securing our attachment to Jesus on a daily basis through prayer, Bible reading, and meditating on his word, connecting with other Christians. He is waiting to carry us to places we fear going alone or find difficult. So the word for today is, and this is taken, by the way, from the word of today, you might recognize it, stay in close connection to Jesus. And through Jesus, we will know the Father. But what if we lose sight of the one-way sign when thick fog appears, or the water gets troubled, and we totally lose sight of our direction we are heading with Jesus, or we start doubting? What if we are overcome with anxiety, with grief, worry, doubt, when the one-way sign we just saw before is covered in mist? Have you ever been in thick fog? Yeah. It's quite something, isn't it? When you're surrounded by this gray, white mass and you can't even see the side of the road anymore, and you get totally disorientated to where you're going, it totally throws you on all sides, and all of a sudden you can't see where you are. You lose your sense of direction straight away and you feel totally lost. Now, as a family, we like skiing. We enjoy being together, and especially when the snow is fresh and the sky is blue and the sun is out, and it's so beautiful in the mountains then. But when all of a sudden thick clouds come in and take the light of the sun away, you can totally lose your way in the mountains. Suddenly it can blur your vision. Even with the best goggles, you can't see a thing in front of your eyes. Like you are in the dark, really. The only way to know where you're going is, when you're skiing, you have to ski down somewhere to get back to safe ground, really. But before you are at safe ground, it can take a lot of physical effort and falling and taking wrong directions. And it can be scary as well before you're down there. You may even get motion sickness because of the disorientation. And though you think you're skiing down, it suddenly sometimes throws you, because sometimes, instead of down, You ski up a slope, which happens sometimes when you can't even see your own ski boots anymore and the markings of the ski pistes. So when skiing in this kind of conditions, I am always very pleased to arrive at a place where I recognize things again, back in the valley, and see and hear people chatting again. Try to picture a pilot in a small aircraft navigating through a storm full with thick clouds, where he can't see the landmarks around him anymore, which normally gives him a sense of direction. They are like handles to hold on to when he's navigating through the air. But because they are blocked out in the thick fog, he can only count on his instruments in the cockpit, like the airspeed indicator or the altimeter to check the altitude above the sea level, or the heading indicator, which is like a compass showing the direction the aircraft is going, or the indicator to show how high or low he is flying. Nothing else he has to guide by. But as he continues to fly and follows and trusts his instruments' directions, he suddenly hears this voice from the air traffic control tower coming through his headphones saying, "Just listen to me now, and I will guide you through." What a relief that must be for the pilot when the air traffic controller gives him the instructions and directions to land safely on the ground. How do we find our way back when we lose our way in the fog of daily life? What did Jesus say? "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust me. Because to tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do it. He will do even greater things. And don't forget, my Father's house has many rooms, and I am going to prepare a place for you." What a promise that is. When we continue our journey with Jesus, we might not always recognize him on the way we are heading and might get worried like Thomas and Philip, who were confused. But rest assured, Jesus is always there to support, to comfort or teach us, and he has a lot of patience with us. Very often we don't see it, but afterwards we ask ourselves, how did we get here? Or how did we get through this? When we look back and we see that his hand was given to us during the journey with him. There's the sign again. There is only one way, and that is Jesus. With Jesus and through Jesus, we can get to the Father. We can stand forgiven before God because of what Jesus did for us on the cross with Easter. He took away all our sins, which died with him on that cross. He was buried. But what happened after the 3 days? Yes, indeed, he rose again from that grave, from the tomb. The tomb was totally empty. He was risen indeed as he had foretold. He is our intermediary, the advocate between us and God. We can stand now forgiven before God and know him. Isn't that fantastic? And yes, there is only one way, and that is through Jesus. Take up the offer and take his hand and let him lead you. Stay connected and keep close to him, like the remora fish to the shark. He will provide your daily bread, your safety. He will listen to your problems your confusions, your anxieties. He knows exactly what is going on in your world and the world around you. He is still here today. Through and with Jesus Christ, we are able to carry on the rest of our lives. And once that is finished, we will take that place in his Father's house that is prepared for us. Amen. Let us pray. Show us the right path, O Lord, and point out the road for us to follow. Lead us by your truth and teach us, for you are the God who saves us. All day long, we put our hope in you. Amen. For our next song, we will stay seated as a reflection on the sermon. And the words will be on the screen. But yeah, you can sing along with it. You can stay quiet as you want. The song is called Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
I'd just like to say a little bit about that song. Thank you to Ali for putting the words on the screen, because we had a YouTube clip of it. And if you'd like to watch the YouTube clip, it's lovely, lots of young people. But when it came to putting it on, the words weren't there. And they were on, it was mysterious. The words disappeared. But I first came across that last year when I went to stay with Sam and Liz and the kids. And we went to a youth event that they have at their church once a month, and Noah and Bethany go. So we went along, and the band played several songs, none of which I knew, and this one, which just stayed with me. And I went and spoke to them afterwards, and the guy very kindly gave me all the music and told me what it was. And it's haunted me ever since, that song. It's so beautiful, and I've been trying to fit it into a service, and we've finally done it, Wilma.
Yes.
So, if you'd like to see the video, just look it up on YouTube. Our prayers of intercession. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We bring to you the places in our world where the darkness of war casts its shadows over people's lives. We pray today for Ukraine, for the Middle East, for South Sudan, and many other areas of the world. We ask for just and lasting solutions to long-running conflict. Give us persistence in prayer, hope in believing that peace will come, and trust in your promise that you make all things new. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You have called us to live together in community, sharing what we have and carrying each other's burdens. May we walk faithfully where you lead us, and may our actions show your love in the world. We pray for the small and big choices that lie ahead for us this week, and ask that we would honour you in the ordinary things of life, knowing that you are with us always. We pray that you would surround all who are struggling or feeling alone with your presence and peace. God of light and love, you hold our lives in your hand. We pray for all who are in trouble, pain, or distress. In our hearts or out loud, we name those we know who need to know your love for them today. Be close to all who suffer and surround them with your tender care. May we, your church, be a protecting space for those who are battered by the storms of life, and a place of healing and hope in a troubled and divided world. You are the way, the truth, and the life. We bring to you the change and uncertainty that is all around, feelings of being left behind or unheard, high distrust of leaders, disconnection from politics, and a lack of faith in those who govern us. Save us from extremes and from too easy answers to complex issues. Show us how we should respond to the anger that simmers in our society. We pray for those affected by recent anti-Semitic attacks, including the most recent one in London this week, and bring to you those Jewish people who are fearful of walking the streets. We ask that you would protect Jewish people worldwide from violence and harassment. And we pray for those who have an irrational hatred of Jewish people, that you would transform their hearts through your all-surpassing power. Make us campaigners for a more just world, and may we never disregard the voices of those on the margins. As elections approach in many areas of our nation and our island, we pray for leadership that is unselfish and dedicated to the good of others. Let your face shine upon us and upon your world. God of light and love, may the beauty of your peace encircle us and fill our homes and our hearts today and always. Amen.
Thank you, Diane. Our final song is going to be Trust and Obey, for there's no other way. Let us go out with the confidence that God has a place for you, trusting Jesus to show the way, enabled by the Spirit to live and serve. Amen.
Amen.
Let us share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore.